talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Gather around you people now to the tale that I tell.
That is the Devil Makes Three on Snacky Tunes, live on Heritage Radio. We are your host, Finger on the Pulse. We took last week off because we had a really big event. Our television show, Dinner with the Band, premiered. I can only say from the press, from legitimately rave reviews.
I can say rave.
I can say rave reviews. It's really funny to be...
Oh, what about that trance review, though?
It's really No, I get it. Ellie, do you get it?
I get it.
We are joined today by our favorite little robot, Shadow Scene.
Yay.
He's been my best friend for, West Coast best friend for years, and now Philadelphia, New York on my couch.
Always.
Best friend for years. She also goes by the name Shadow Scene for many nightlife hipsters. She is probably taking your photo. And I pretty much stopped taking photos because pretty much most of my year was documented by Ellie, so yeah. It was pretty easy. And one of the things that I liked most about the reviews for Dinner with the Band is that they called us hipsters, but we were accessible hipsters. So apparently most hipsters are inaccessible and standoffish, which I never knew.
That's a pretty standoffish thing to say.
Sorry. but we have a lot of show today. With The Devil Makes Three, who you heard, their episode debuts tomorrow night. It'll be their television debut, I believe. And we're going to be speaking with Pete, who's in the band, later on in the show. But Terry's got some really great food guests lined up today.
Yeah, big shout out to Audrey, who hooked us up with our next guest. Matt Bonanno is a certified cheesehead.
I like certified better.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean,
it's certified.
Certified cheesehead. Loves all things cheese, cheddar, Swiss, Munster, and he is on the phone with us today. Matt, how are you?
Doing fantastic, man. How you doing?
Matt, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you for having me, man. I'd love to talk about some cheese.
Yes.
So I'm upset because I had plans last Saturday, but I know that Audrey was out at the Bait and Tackle for one of your cheese flights, which sounded pretty fantastic.
We do that about four times a year, every season. We did a fall one, a winter, and then last Saturday was our spring one. And it gets better every time, man. It was just fantastic. We get about three new wines, a port, and a few beers, and we pair them up with about 12 or 14 different cheeses.
Wow.
All seasonal or?
On and off. Some are seasonal, some are just some classics, and some are just some gems that I have, in the back of my head. And a friend of mine named Jessica comes over, and she helps me out, too. She brings some cheeses from the West Side and some farmer's market cheeses.
Now, I might sound a little ignorant on this, but I didn't know that cheeses were seasonal. I thought, considering that it takes so long, you can enlighten me a little bit.
Well, as far as the seasons go, you got to remember just the cycles of the animals. The goats, over the wintertime, they need time to make little goats. So by the time the little goats come out, the lactation starts in the spring. Sheep are a little bit more at the end of summer. Cows can be done a little bit pretty much the rest of the year. There are some specialties. Fresh cheeses come out in the springtime, and you definitely want them with the fresh grasses and the fresh spring water. Some of your aged cheeses are going to be mountain cheeses, and some they're not going to be even coming down to the mountain, down from the mountain in time. Maybe Labor Day, end of September, early October, a lot of your summer aged cheese. It's called transhumance when they take the animals up. They make the cheese on all the high mountain pastures, and then they bring them down at the end of the summer, and they let them age for a few months. Like right now, we're going to get a lot of summer milk cheeses that have been aged for like 6 to 8 months, and they're just going to be fantastic, full of flavor.
Now, what's the freshest cheese that one can get? A lot of times when you talk about local and fresh, when it gets the produce, it's, picked off the farm that morning and delivered to your doorstep that afternoon. What's the quickest turnaround for a cheese?
It's pretty much the same. The closer you are to a dairy farm or a cheesemaker, the better chances are you're going to get a fantastic fresh cheese. Goat's cheese, Chèvre, is pretty much your typical fresh cheese. They're going to come right off the farm. They're going to be like 3 weeks old, 6 weeks old tops. You can also get some fresh curd from the farm. You can get fresh yogurts from the farm, depending, like I said before, how close you are to a farm. Farmers markets, Union Square, you can get cheeses up, between 2 weeks and 4 weeks old.
Wow. And what's on your platter right now? What are some of the local and fresh cheeses that you were serving up this weekend?
I wasn't doing a lot of local fresh ones. I was doing a little aged cheeses.
Okay.
I was bringing a couple out of the cave. I had a fantastic, fantastic flight. I started with a Chabrin, which is a aged goat's cheese from the Pyrenees. It's got a real nuttiness to it, but it's firm and it's not very strong. And next I used a La Marechal. I don't know if you guys are familiar. I call it the Marshal. The Marshal of the Grand Parade of Cheeses. It's a raw Gruyere-type cheese from high in the Alps, and what they do is they make the cheese, and then they wash it in white wine, and it gives it a little bit of a funkiness, a little sharpness, and it also inhibits the bacteria to grow. And then they thresh out the local hay, they thresh out a lot of the clover and the flowers that the cows will eat, and they pack that cheese in that threshed grass.
Wow.
which has been washed in wine. Then they aged that for about 6 to 8 months, and it's just out of this world. Then I had a Ford Farm cheddar, which is a classic, the epitome of English cheese making. It's a cloth-bound cheese. I don't know if you're familiar with a lot of cloth-bound cheeses. It's very traditional English way, especially southern England. What they do is they wrap the cheese in like cheesecloth, and then they cover that cheesecloth in lard and fat. Sounds fantastic. I mean, I just want to scoop up. Oh, my God, exactly. And what that does, it seals in the moisture, it seals in the flavor, but what also it does, it picks up all that microflora in the caves and in the basements and the cellars where these things are aged, and it attracts it right to that fat, and it just seeps into that cheese, and the whole cheese gets covered in. I mean, when you smell the cheese that comes out of a cave, that's cloth bound, you can smell the barn, you can smell the area, you can smell the farm. And, I mean, that's just as important to me as the taste of the cheese. It's all about the character.
No, that's amazing. Now, you have been making and working with cheese for 10 years.
About that.
And, you know, it seems, you know, now it's such an artisanal, you know, even Williamsburg has a cheese shop. Everyone has a cheese shop. But 10 years ago, the scene was not as sort of accessible. How did you get your start?
It wasn't as approachable, I guess you could say. Yeah. My start, I started out as a chef. I worked at a lot of great restaurants in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was working at a place where I was a sous chef, and it's a great story. The owner came up to me, is the Lon's Bakery. It's a pretty famous bakery in Georgia, and there was about three or four of us with nothing to do, and he's like, all right, somebody needs to do something, and he put down this cheese in front of us, and it just stunk the whole bakery up. I mean, and it's a bakery. I mean, it smells like bread, and it smells like cheesecake, but, you know, at that moment, it just smelled like feet, and everybody ran away, and I was like, boom, that's exactly what I want to do. And it took me about 4 or 5 days, and I realized exactly what I want to do for the rest of my career, and that's focus on cheese, especially fine cheeses.
I was going to ask you that at the end of the interview, but now you brought up we're having a dinner party on Thursday, and I wanted to bring, like, the stinkiest but yet most delicious cheese out there, and I was wondering if you could make a couple suggestions.
Absolutely. You like blue cheese? You like blue cheese as well?
Maybe like a creamy, stinky cheese.
Okay, well, what I got... In my case right now, I work at Brooklyn Fair. I'm helping these guys build up a nice cheese case. It's downtown Brooklyn, Hoyt and Skimmerhorn. It's a really nice little store. I have real French Alsatian Munster, like the real Munster, the little round discs, it's the kind of cheese that makes your neighbors move away. So keep that in mind. Yeah. It kills their lawn really fast. That's a fantastic cheese. It's got really strong milk overtones, but it's also washed in brine and sometimes washed in beer. And what they do to that, they let that sit outside, actually. Like, out in the elements, they let that sit out for 7 days before they age it again, before they actually put it in the cave to age it. And it's a very short process. It's like probably a 60 to 70-day process. And it comes out really, really strong. Then you have some great blue cheeses. I have a Blue de Basque. It's a sheep's milk cheese from high in the Pyrenees Mountains, and it's washed as well. The inside is very, very wonderful. It's got a nice, sweet butterscotch flavor. It's just fantastic, but it's also got that outside rind that just, you can almost see the fumes coming off of it. It's just fantastic.
So, you know, a lot of people see wine and cheese as this hard to sort of grasp concept, not really knowing the language, not really knowing what they want. Can you recommend any classes or any ways for people to learn more about cheese sort of in a non-intimidating way?
Absolutely. It's all out there in print, for one thing, and of course on the internet. But what I like to do is I look at the cheese. You start with one or the other. You know, if you want to start with the cheese, look where it's from. You know, what country it's from, what area is it from, region is from. Wine, same thing, same exact thing. And then start going from there, pair it with that. If you know you like really, really strong French red cheeses, start looking for red wine. Start looking for Burgundy cheeses. Or start looking for some high Alpine cheeses, some like Morbier, even some simple classic cheeses like that. And maybe even like a high Comté. If you like Riesling and sweeter white wines, go with the stinky white stinky cheeses, like I said before, like the Vosges or the Munster Jérôme, the ones from the Alsatian border. Those cheeses and those wines, the terroir of the area, really help in pairing up the cheeses. I tell a lot of people in classes at these same points, but I also tell them, drink what you like. Try different things, you know, and always try to get some kind of variety. Get yourself a hard cheese, a soft cheese, a stinky cheese, and a blue. And same with the wine. You know, buy yourself a nice strong red. Buy yourself a really sharp white or a nice sweet white. Or get yourself a nice rosé. there are some really great rosés out there. A lot of people actually don't speak about rosés, but there's a lot of producers out there that make one, and they go pretty well with good wine, with good cheeses.
Great, thank you so much. So thank you for joining us. Is there a website that anybody can check if they want to get in touch with you or get more of your suggestions?
Absolutely, and I'm totally available for cheese classes. I do all sorts of consulting, and I love just sharing and talking about cheese, man. It's my email, if that's fine, if I can give out my email.
Sure.
It's my name. Actually, it's Matthew Bonanno. That's MattHewBonanno, MatthewBonanno@gmail.com.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we will make sure to check out those cheeses and let everybody know how they go next week. Thanks,
Fantastic,
Matt.
Man. Thanks for having me. Big props up to Audrey. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Audrey.
And hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. As always, that's great.
All right, man. Thanks again.
Thank you. That was great. Do you like cheese, Ellie?
I love cheese.
I actually don't know many people that don't love cheese, unless they're like, besides like lactose intolerant.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, speaking of wines to pair with cheese, the Barter House is a proud supporter of the Heritage Radio Network. The Barter House works with small family vineyards and small bottlers from around the world to bring only the finest and most flavorful wines to market. To learn more about the Barter House, please visit them on the web at www.thebarterhouse.com or call them at 917-463-3067. We are actually enjoying their... I can't even... This mic is annoying. The Conspire, a Sauvignon Blanc from 2008. Want to cheers?
Cheers.
Where is that? Next to that. Here we go. Cheers.
Cheers.
Ooh. Mm. Mm. You are listening to Snacky Tunes. We are host, Finger on the Pulse. Our chicken parm sandwiches from Burgers just showed up. So we're going to play some music, and then we're going to be back with someone from the Manhattan Cocktail Classic. Take it away, Terry.
She says, always remember, never to trust me. She said that the first night that she met me. And she said there's gonna come a time when I'm gonna have to go with whoever's gonna get me the highest. She said I won't be much for conversation if we go into the rest of this. And I never been much for the conservation. I kinda dig these awkward silences. She's got those Bone Spaghetti videos. She knew it back and forth. She slept with so many skaters. She had the place to herself. She had a couple $100 and he had nothing but the number. I like the guy who always answers the door. He always knows what you came to his house for. She said I won't be much for all this Hubbard stuff. I've never really done that much of this. And I have to really try so hard not to fall in love. I have to concentrate when we kiss. She mouthed the words along to running up that hill. That song got scratched into her soul. And he never heard that song before, but he still got the metaphor. Yeah, he knew some people that had switched places before. The heavy stuff ain't quite at its heaviest. gets out to suburban Minneapolis. We'll load up a nickel and sexy sex. With three scanners and some hood rat shit. Throw the wrong way down 169. I was tired of like dying high.
All right, little hold steady. We're gonna do a little rock and roll today because Ellie's here.
Yeah.
Because normally we do the dance music, but we'll do a little rock and roll. Hold steady, favorite bands of ours. And rumor has it the new record is done, and should be coming out shortly, soonish. I don't know what that means though. Don't sit on my computer. I already dropped it once this month.
Oh my god.
You're listening to Snaggy Tunes. We're your host, Finger on the Pulse. We just had a great interview about cheese, and now we're going to go
to the other side of the finer things in life and talk about cocktails. Last summer, Greg and I, DJ Never Forget and I, pardon me, were invited to the Manhattan Cocktail Classic preview gala at the Manhattan Public Library.
For those of you who don't know, that's the library they used in Ghostbusters.
That's true. And
Slimer
was a no-show though.
Slimer was a no-show.
but
that bottle of Aperol that I got on the steps is still sitting there, waiting, begging.
But we are
finished.
Very lucky to be joined by Leslie Townsend from the Houghton Cocktail Classic. Leslie, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. You must be very excited because this event is right around the corner. It's a week from Friday is the big gala, right?
Oh, wow, when you put it like that. Yeah, it's really soon.
She's like, I gotta go. thanks for calling. Now, for those who don't know what the Manhattan Cocktail Classic is or who went to the preview, what is the main event kicking off May 10th going to bring?
Well, so first, the dates are May 14th to 18th. Oh, sure. So the Manhattan Cocktail Classic is actually a five-day-long festival celebrating the art and craft of the cocktail, just like all of those other, you know, food and booze festivals that happen out there, but this one's focused on cocktails. And the specific event that you're talking about is the Friday night kickoff gala. It's the first event of the whole festival, and it is, once again, taking place at the New York Public Library, except this time, for those of you who are at the preview, we're taking over the entire New York Public Library, which is actually four stories and two city blocks of space. It's going to be kind of crazy. I don't think they've ever done an event this big there, and it should be interesting.
I mean, if it's going to be bigger and better than the preview, then everybody should be getting their tickets right now, because it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's crazy. Tickets are actually almost sold out for the gala. I never thought we were going to sell this many tickets.
It's New York. Yeah. These people come out of the woodworks for things like this.
Now, the other difference between this sort of series is that it's not really a trade show. It's more consumer-based, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is really a consumer-oriented festival. While there are definitely lots of things that appeal to bartenders and members of the, you know, professional beverage community, but it really is, you know, for the average everyday cocktail enthusiast and consumer, or people who even aren't that enthusiastic about cocktails, but, you know, like to get their drink on. It's going to be a pretty good time. We actually have 75 events, I think, over the course of the 5 days. Going to be pretty crazy.
What is a smaller event that ticket sales aren't as strong as you'd like to see, but, you know, people should not miss?
Oh, there's so many, and I'm just shocked that people haven't discovered them yet. For one of the ones that I'm definitely going to be going to, there's going to be an outdoor garden party at Huckleberry Bar in Williamsburg. If anyone has not been there yet, it's one of the coolest bars ever, and best of all, they have a big outdoor garden, and, you know, middle of May, going to be pretty nice. And the event is called Death in the Afternoon, and it's kind of focused on absinthe, and yeah, it's drinking outside in mid-May, which is going to be fun. There's this crazy all-day-long expo really happening next door to Astor Center. Astor Center, I should mention, is where most of the educational seminars are happening. But anyway, next door at the restaurant called Butter, they're doing this all-day-long walk-around tasting and a bunch of seminars that are all focused on micro-distilled spirits. That's going to be really, really cool. I mean, they have something like, I don't know, 20 or 30 different micro-distilleries on board. That's going to be really awesome. I don't know, Campari's throwing a giant party over at the Bowery Hotel, and they're going to have burlesque dancers and other craziness. There's so much fun stuff. I can't wait. I wish we could go to everything.
And the ticket prices aren't that crazy either, right?
No, I had this crazy pricing scheme, which was that I was going to price everything at exactly the same price, which is $50 a ticket. So regardless of whether it was a four-course cocktail pairing dinner or, you know, a cocktail party or a seminar, it's all $50, with the one exception of the gala, which is $100. But trust me, it's still really kind of a steal for $100.
Is it the same type of food situation with oysters and full roasted pig and things like that?
Well, there's going to be that. There's also going to be, like, I can barely even explain. There are going to be a lot of really, really wild things happening. And one little secret that I just can't sit on any longer is that Mario Batali is coming and doing some of the food there, which is going to be pretty cool. But yeah, everything at the preview and then a whole lot more.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where can information, website, the 4-in-1 and all of this?
Sure. It's www.manhattancocktailclassic.com. I'm not trying to sound like a hustler, but we had 1,500 tickets available to the gala, and I think we have something like 100 left. If you plan on coming, I would definitely get your tickets now.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you. We look forward to seeing you at the event, and good luck.
Awesome. Can't wait.
This is luck. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Wow. That sounds awesome.
That sounds great.
You going to come back up for that?
Yeah. Next 14th?
14th?
Yeah, Friday.
Oh, great. We'll dress up.
Oh, boy.
We'll put on bow ties or top hats. You are listening to Snacky Tunes. We are hosts, Finger on the Pulse. Big shout out to Barterhouse Wines, Jack Enzi and Rec Tech for making us sound good. Roberta's, how's that pizza?
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
We just had
the chicken parm and so good. Terry Diabolic is going to play a couple songs for us, and then we're going to have Pete from The Devil Makes Three on talking about the road, the show, and upcoming projects. All right, Maya Hawthorne, am I saying that right? Snacky Tunes,
yeah.
Terry Diabolik playing some soul.
Maybe so, maybe no. Big shout out to Jay Gibbons, who turned me
on. Oh, Justin Gibberino?
Before that, it was
Jay Gibblebots?
Gibble?
Asterix?
Gibbles? Gibbsy?
M83, and then before that, Foles. Cassius? I forget.
Cassius. So, big week last week. Dinner with the Band officially premiered, even though we talked about it before. It was the official season premiere with Rufus Wainwright. And it was really awesome, and we enjoyed it. But Rufus is already a huge star, well known to many people.
Right.
But one of the things that we like to do with Dinner with the Band is also take bands that we love and that Sam loves and kind of put them on a national platform.
Mm-hmm.
And the band that we have next was introduced to me by Sam, huge on the West Coast, didn't really know him on the East Coast, and now they seem to be kind of blowing up everywhere.
Two thumbs up from our father.
Yeah, two thumbs up from Peter, you there?
I'm here. How you doing?
Good, man. Good to hear your voice. It's been so long.
Yeah.
Pete is obviously in the band Devil Makes Three. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Just, excited about the premiere tomorrow. Excited about the fact that you guys are now living on the East Coast, or back on the East Coast after a hiatus, if we can say that.
Yeah, it's true. I'm in Vermont right now as we speak, and I've been gone. I've been in California about 7 years.
It's a bit of a pause.
It is. It's a little different.
It's a little different. So since you left the taping in February, you guys went on tour, correct?
Yeah, we did. We went on tour. We went all over the place. We went on tour on the West Coast. We went to Canada. We went to the Midwest. We came as far east as Ohio, and then we actually went back to the West Coast, and now we're in Vermont. So.
That's great. And
how was the food on the road?
What was that?
How was the food?
Oh, man, some of it was good, some of it was terrible, standard fare.
Let's go with the good. I mean, we talk about on the show that you guys like to do family meals. Did you get a chance to cook it all on the road?
Occasionally we did. Yeah, when we stay with people, we get to eat and, make food. And actually this trip, a couple places we played actually made us food there, and we, ate it together with the people who put the show on, which was pretty cool. That's really a rarity.
So it makes it really easy when they said, hey, guys, we're short at the door, to be like, oh, all right, I guess that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. It sweetens the deal.
It sweetens the pot a little.
Now that you guys are back in Vermont, what do you have coming up in the future for the summer months?
Well, we're going to be playing in Brooklyn June 4th on our way down to play Bonnaroo, and we're going to be doing some shows along the way. We're going to be playing Philly, and we're going to hopefully do a show in Asheville, North Carolina. So we're sort of doing a short tour around going to play Bonnaroo.
I believe that show on June 4th is out Southpaw, correct?
Yeah, that's right. We're looking forward to it.
Which is great. I'm looking forward to it, too, because the only time that I've seen you, you've just played 5 songs. I'm looking forward to it. That record has been on repeat in many cooking scenarios at that loft.
That's great. That's awesome, man. That's good news. Yeah, a lot of people are really excited to see the show as well. We've been getting a lot of comments about it.
Yeah, that's great. We kind of, after we shoot, we kind of go into a post-production void, but it's really nice to hear that you guys have been hitting up. That's kind of been one of our goals, is to get you guys that exposure and get, excitement and, let us do some promotion while you guys, just hang out.
Now, quick question. Have you guys made the Graveyard Chicken, the hibiscus brine chicken, since you've left the show?
Have we made it?
Yes.
Honestly, we haven't hardly had time to cook at all. Like I said, we pretty much, since then, we've been, I think the meals at home could be counted on, one hand.
Well, that's good. Keep
so
losing.
So no, but we hope to, because, man, that was really good.
Maybe we can, all of us could have a cook you guys some dinner when you get to Brooklyn before the show.
That would be really cool.
You know what? I bet Sam would be very excited to have that, and I'm going to put that off on the table now.
Cool. That sounds great. We would love that.
Anyway, well, thank you so much. Website for information and to get music and t-shirts and all sorts of band swag, where can we go?
For our stuff, you can, everything that we have in the world is probably at devilmakes3.com.
And that's three spelled out?
That's right. Yeah, TheDevilMakes3, spelled out, .com.
Fantastic.
All right, well, we're actually going to play an exclusive from Dinner with the Band. We have one of the live songs you guys performed that's already up on the web, which you can check out at ifc.com/dinnerwiththeband. Just to give you a little taste of the great music you guys are going to hear tomorrow.
Great. Pete, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot, you guys.
And I look forward to seeing you in June.
Sounds good.
All right. So this is Dinner with the Band presents, I guess, Devil Makes Three live from the Rising Tide.
One, two, one, two, three, four. Well, lately things ain't been going my way. Consequently, I've been drinking nearly every day. It's hard to keep your head up when I'm knocking you down, so I've been making that old go round. Drinking bottom shelf bourbon to ease my mind. Seems to work all right till closing time. But you know you're gonna come down every night, and there ain't no way you'll ever feel satisfied. Ain't that hard to figure where to begin. It's Friday night, so I'm rushing in. Like a fool, I get it anywhere I can. Well, I've been having a hard time walking a straight line, seeing two of every single neon sign. Fall in love, but you know you're gonna come down every night, and there ain't no way you'll ever feel satisfied. Good morning till your dying day, it's straight bad news and bills to pay. But come 5 o'clock, you're feeling good again. Well, I've been having a hard time walking a straight line, seeing two of every single neon sign. Well, now you'll find me downtown, gracefully faded. Pills if you got them, but you know you're gonna come down every night, and there ain't no way you'll ever feel satisfied. The years of my life I don't remember at all, like one Friday, and I can barely recall. There was a sick situation in a barroom bathroom stall. Well, I've been having a hard time walking a straight line, seeing two of every single neon sign. Well, now you'll find me downtown, gracefully face down, just wishing I could feel alright.
on the shiny ridge. We're on the protein delta strip in an abandoned house, but I will wait there. I'll be waiting forever. I'm waiting, 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 waiting.
Fight.
LCD Sound System, Dance Yourself Clean, off the new record, which is amazing. Pretty much, it's pretty awesome. There's a couple tracks that are not my favorite, but they pretty much smashed at Williamsburg Hall of Music and at Webster, and now they're on to like their fourth sold-out night at Terminal 5 with Holy Ghost opening.
Are we going to that?
No, we're going to be in Montreal.
Yeah, so anyway, as spring turns into summer, as the bard once said...
I'm telling you, a wine sponsor is great, but that does not do for
anything. The wine and the no air conditioning. But as you know, every summer, Finger on the Pulse presents the barbecue blowout, summer barbecue blowout, which is actually up to a now six events.
Possible secret seventh.
I don't even want to talk about it, because okay. If I talk about that seventh one and it doesn't happen, I'm going to cry. But look.
But we're saying today that there's a possible seventh.
Yeah, but May 19th. At Good Company, formerly Hope Lounge, 10 Hope Street.
And we couldn't think of a better person to start off with than Roberta's.
Which is funny because we've never actually had Roberta's. Psych, we eat Roberta's every week and it's delicious.
Right, so they're going to come do the first barbecue. And Modular Records, the Modular Records in-house DJs are going to be DJing. So it's free.
Shout out to Shell Bell.
And yeah. North. And if you want to just come and drink, that's not free. But if you want to come hang out, that's free. And food, as always, is $5 a plate. We'll be rolling out more information for the barbecue as it comes out. But two big things. Shout out to Arlie and Incase, who we'll be working with again this summer.
Awesome. So, get that phone cover case for your iPod and your iPhone and whatever, because you know it's going to be a disaster.
And maybe if we talk to Arlie, we can get a couple special goodies. Pepper out throughout the night.
Pepper and goodies.
And then also I'd like to announce that we are partnering up with New York Magazine.
What?
Which we'll be putting out a formal press release next week, but very excited about that. There will be four at Good Company, and then there'll be two at The Yard. So please stay tuned for details. We're really excited about that.
Yeah, we got some. It's we won't say who, but it's all Brooklyn favorites.
Right.
Brooklyn hometown, and before any controversy stirs up, we've worked with New York in the past. We work with Brooklyn. There's no separation of the two chefs from that we're working with. Have worked both in New York and Brooklyn. It just happened that who could do the dates and how it rolled out. It's Brooklyn based.
Did you really think there'd be a controversy? Were you a little concerned?
I was a little bit concerned. I don't want to think that people think that we're sitting across the river and not nodding out to our culinary brethren in the
I'm nodding out
island.
To this wine.
if there was a radio cam, you could see that Never Forget is slouched almost to the floor.
I feel like I'm relaxed in a chair. I had a long weekend. And we've got another great week coming up, Cinco de Mayo, which is why LA is in town.
Yeah. Totally. What date is that?
Really?
Why do you fall for that?
I don't know. I get it all the time.
Wow. And then we got some good stuff, and we just saw that the Fader is having the Brothers Malkovich tomorrow night at Brooklyn Bowl, which would be also known in their stage terms as Dave Vaughan and A-Track. So
can I admit something?
Yeah.
When I was looking at that flyer, I was like, those guys look familiar, but I've never heard of them before.
Wow.
Wow.
Well,
I don't know.
That's why I'm the band and you're dinner. let's close this up.
Okay.
All right. It's the next and also, it is also. I forgot that when we started the show last summer, how hot it is, and it is really hot in here.
And we're coming up on our 1 year anniversary.
We got a little bit. It's not till August.
We're celebrating.
It's May.
May is almost over.
It is May.
It is May is not even close to almost over. We haven't even hit Cinco de Mayo.
And when is that again?
May 5th, this Wednesday. Okay. what are you gonna take us out with?
This is a nod to the season finale guest of Dinner with the Band, Andrew WK, and he performs a version of this song on the show, but it is a very stripped down, minimalist piano version, which is very beautiful and very awesome.
And we can also say that August 25th, he will be DJing the final barbecue blowout with the Franks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At Good Company.
At Good Company.
It's going to be huge. Like, we're really excited for you to spend summer with us. We got some good things coming up with our DJ crew.
Also, yes, if you go to blog.urbanoutfitters.com, our Arvor Simone track remix for Only You Can Make You Happy is up for free download. That's blog.urbanoutfitters.com. Shout out to Drew and all the kids in Philadelphia.
And shout out to Arvor Simone, who you were a former guest on Snacky Tunes. You can find all of our old episodes and other episodes from this wonderful network all archived on the iTunes Store. Just look for Heritage Radio Network, or if we want to be selfish, Snacky Tunes. No other show is snacky in the title.
True.
Okay.
Let's close this out.
This is Terry Diabolik. I'm going to walk over. Never forget. Give me some walking over patter.
This is DJ Never Forget. We will be back next week. As always, the food guest will be a mystery, but we will have Cobra King. Oh, yeah. Next week, actually, I take that back. Sam Mason will be in studio to talk about the show, future projects he doesn't want to talk about, and a bunch of other things. And we will have Cobra Crames in studio as well. Ellie. Maybe Ellie.
Maybe me.
Yeah, she might. We might just keep her here. Anything else left to say?
No, this is great.
What's your website?
Oh, shadowscene.com.
Hilarious.
So good.
Great. Here we go. Andrew WK.